So the Gemara says, we've just discussed the halachas of a shlish. A shlish is when the shtar was held in escrow, and it seems to be that that's two lishnas about whether the person holding the shtar has any rights, or are they just literally like a bank, they're just holding the shtar, but they have no rights, they don't dictate the course of this halva. So the Gemara says on the second line, Eisvei Ravala Rav Nachman, Simpoin, if you have a receipt, Sheyesh Alav Edim, Yiskayim b'chosmov. Ein olav edim. If there's no edim to back up this receipt, yotze mitachas yidei shlish oisha yotze achachisum shtaris, or it emerged from a third party, or it emerged, the malve himself has written the receipt after the signatories at the bottom of the shtar. Kosha, it's okay. Alma, you see that shlish is mehemon. You see that the third party is believed. And we just quoted a Lishna that seemed to say the opposite. The Gemara says, you're quite right. Tiyuvta Rav Nachman, it seems to be, and it's a very important halacha, that this third party, independent party holding the shtar, actually has koyach and is believed to say that the shtar has been paid or hasn't been paid, etc. Says the Gemara, Ki osa Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan now said the following statement, and if you remember, it was a rather strange sounding statement because it sounds self-contradictory. Why? Because the Gemara says, La'olam mevi raya v'soisem ad sheyistosem ta'anoisov. A person can always bring a proof to back up his innocence until such point sheyistosem ta'anoisov. What does that mean, sheyistosem ta'anoisov? Until his tainas have become stopped. Presumably that means at the point where he says, ainly, I don't have any further proof, game over. Strangely enough, Rabbi Yechanan then continues in the very same sentence, and he says, V'yoymar kirvu ployni ployni v'hiduni, but then can say, I have edim. So can they please step up to testify, which is obviously inherently contradictory. You just said that at the point that he says, ainly, well, then it's all over, there's no recourse. And then you said in the very next line that we can go and bring edim. What's going on? Says the Gemara, ha gufa kashya, that inherently is difficult. Omrit, you said on the one hand, yistosim ta'anoisov. Osol rabbonon, so you've just arrived at the rabbonon's opinion, who says that once you say ainly, then it's all over. And there's no recourse. But v'hoda omrit, but then you said, kirvu ish plain you plain yividuni, that you can still bring further eder. So it sounds like osol rab shimon gamliel, that you do have recourse. So who are you paskening like? You might say, well, actually, there's no contradiction. The entire statement is actually following Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And what it means is, or Pirushi Komafari, she's just explaining, my adshi istosim tanoisav. What does it mean you can have recourse until your taina is stopped? Means until adshi yoyme kirvu pleini yopleini veheiduni. But if indeed you suggest that you have edim in stock, then you can bring them up. The whole statement is just following Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Well, that can't be, because we don't paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Wherever Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is mentioned in the Mishnah, halacha kamoisai. Halacha always follows him, but not in every single case. Not in every single case. It does not follow him in chutz me'orev itzidon v'raya achreina. Our case is indeed the case of raya achreina. So if that's the case, why indeed are we passing like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? What's going on? Halacha is not like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Says the Gemara, Ela, rather, this statement was clearly misquoted, and this is the way that it should be. What is that? Says the Gemara, la'olam mevi raya. Indeed, you can always bring a raya until he stops his taina. What does it mean, he stops his taina? The yomru hove edim, and he says, I still want to bring edim. V'oimer ainli edim. O hove raya, v'oimer ainli raya. So until such point that he says emphatically that I do not have a raya, so then he's always allowed to bring one. So whose opinion is that? That's clear of the Rabbanon. And that's the way we are loch. In other words, you're allowed to bring further proof until you eventually announce, I do not have. Remember those magic words, ainly. Once you utter the two magic words, ainly, I do not have proof, I do not have a shtah, then there is no recourse. Even though Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that indeed there is, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, we paskin like Rabbanon. So at the point that you say, I don't have, it's game over. Even if you bring after that, you bring shtah, you bring edim, we will ignore that and it's too late. Yeah.
Why would anybody then ever say ainli? It blocks the block, it puts them in a corner.
Yeah.
If I don't say ainli, I'm open. I can always bring.
100%. Yeah, 100%. 100%. You have an incentive not to say ainli. Quite right. Now, that statement continues. What happens? Aval bo edim medina sayam. Remember, here came an exception. If edim showed up from abroad, well, I couldn't possibly have known about them. Or there was a bag that belonged to his father, which was mufkedes biyad acher, which was deposited with somebody else. So again, I had no idea that there was further documentation. How could I possibly know that the father had deposited a shtar with somebody else? I couldn't possibly have known. So in that case, harizeh mevi raya v'seiser, well, then he can bring a proof and he can overturn the din. So again, we have a rule, but we have an exception. The rule is, because we pass like the Rabbonon, that once you say Ainli, it is game over. There is no recourse. The exceptions are in cases where you couldn't possibly have known that there was proof out there. Either the Edim were the other side of the world, or the father had deposited the shtar with somebody else. I had no reason to know about that. Therefore, there's nothing suspicious if all of a sudden I bring this proof. Says the Gemara, Ki Osa Rav Dimi Omer Rav Yechanan, this was the final stretch of Gemara now. Hatoikef es chaveiroi bedin. What happens if one party attacks the other one? He's being very aggressive and he's a difficult person to deal with. Therefore, what does he want to do? Echodoy menidoyin kan, v'echodoy menelech lo'akim avat. So the aggressive person says, let's just stay here and be judged here. Meanwhile, the other party says, no, actually, I'd like to schlep you off Lemokim Havad, to the big city where there's a bigger Bezdin. Why would I want to do that? Because there's more Dayonim, more Tamidi Chachomim. And if that's the case, you're more likely to behave like you're supposed to. So what's the halacha? So we saw Big Machlokes. The first opinion says, Koifin Oisai V'yelech Lemokim Havad. Yes, indeed, you can force him to go to the big city. Omer Lefono Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe, how can I be? Misha Noisha Bechaveiroi Mona Yotzi Mona Al Mona? He's already lent him a money. It's true, he's aggressive, but why should he have to now have the tircha and the financial expenses of having to schlep elsewhere? Mecha teisen. Rather, I disagree. Koifin oisei v'don be'iroi. To the contrary, you force him to stay here. He's got every prerogative to say, if we live in Bet Shemesh, we're going to the local Bezdin in Bet Shemesh. Again, as long as they're competent enough. But the fact that you'd rather drag me to Yerushalayim, because there's a big Bezdin, and very prominent, and I'm going to behave myself. No, I've got every right to stay here. Says the Gemara, Itmanami. So too we learned in the name of Rav Safra. Shnayim shenis atzmu bedin. Two people who are arguing bedin. Echad oimer nidoin kan, ve'echad oimer neilech lemokim havad. One said, let's remain here, and the other one said, no, let's go to the big bezdin. Koifin oisei v'don be'iroi. So again, you see that the second opinion is backed up. He has every right to remain right there in the town. If indeed they need to consult, the smaller minor Bezdin need to consult with the major Bezdin, fine. If there's anything they need to ask of the larger Bezdin, so they'll write a message. But just because there's an inquiry they need to make, that's not a reason to schlep off to Yerushalayim. So we'll go to the local Bet Shemesh Bezdin. And in the event that they need to consult with the Bezin Yerushalayim, then so be it. So too, Vimama Kisu Vatnuli, could you please write and give me a whole list of Me'ezetam Dantuni? Why exactly did you come to this conclusion? In other words, somebody who is judged in Bezdin has every right to say, can I please see, as it were, the minutes, the write-up of the judgment? You said I'm guilty. I'd like to know why. We've discussed in previous sugyas that it may well be you're not allowed to know which dayan paskened in which particular direction. But you're definitely entitled to know what was the reasoning behind the psak. So then, koisvim v'noistin loy. Now, we saw another halacha, says the Gemara, on the second wide line. Remember, the yavom either is going to do yibum or chalitza. The yavomo wants to be freed at the moment. As long as there has been neither yibum or chalitza, what is the halacha? The halacha is that she is stranded. So the halacha is, and she can't marry anybody. So the halacha is, she has to go to his town. Why? Ad kama? To what extent? Every extent. Omar Rabbi afilu mitzveria letzipori. Even from Tveria to Tzipori, Rashi explained the bigger Bezdin was in Tveria. It doesn't matter. Wherever the Yavam is, that's where you have to go. Omer of Kahana Mikro. What is the pasuk that backs this up? Why are we telling her that the ball is in his court and she has to go to him? Why is that? Teretz is because we have a pasuk. V'karu loy zikne iroi in the masculine. V'loy zikne iro. Not to her city, rather to his. Says the Gemara, Omar Amim Hilchasa. So what is the halacha? Kaifin oisai v'yelech l'mokim havad. So now we had a machlekes about this. Do you go to the big bez in Yerushalayim? We call that the mokim havad or be'iroi. So Amim says the halacha is you schlep off to Yerushalayim, the mokim havad. Omar Ravashi, how can that be? V'ha'omar Balaza kaifin oisai v'don be'iroi. So it seems to be a contradiction in what do we paskin? Do you go to the big city or not? Says the Gemara, depends who's pulling the strings. Hani mili hecha de kama loiva le malva. Avul malva, the halacha is of a posuk in Mishle, eved loiva le ish malva. The loiva is, as it were, what the Gemara calls yodai al hatachtoina, always has the bottom hand. He's got to go wherever the malva wants him to go. Says the Gemara, Sholchule le Mar Ukva le de Zivle Kbar Bisya. Remember, Mar Ukva had a very special title. One who had a shining countenance like Moshe Rabbeinu. Ukva na Bavli kibil kodmono. Ukva Bavlo is screaming and he's saying, the Yirmiah Achi, Hevro Elias Aderech, my brother Yirmiah, has fallen out with me in monetary terms, a terrible fallout. For Omruloi, Hissiuha v'yira poneinu b'taveria. We'd like to be judged in Tveria. So what exactly does that mean? Hogu fakasha. Omrat imrulai. On the one hand, it sounds like Alma Daininu Atum. You've got to now judge him over there in Bovel. But then you're telling me, no, his siua of Yiraponenu b'Tveria. Alma Shadrua Acha. So where is this going to be judged? Is it going to be in Bovel? Ukvana Bavli? Or is it going to be in Tveria? Sounds like a contradiction. Says the Gemara, no. Elohochi Koma, what he meant over here was as follows. Imrule dayenu atun, itzayis tzayis. Essentially, he should come to you. But if he refuses and he doesn't listen, then we have no choice. V'loi, he's siu of Yeraponenu Tveria. If he absolutely can't, just completely refuses to come to Bovel, then he'll have to come to Tveria. Ravashi Omar, no. Dine knosis have in the case of a knas, remember, they cannot be judged in Bovel. Ubovel loi dayenu dine knosis. All subjects pertaining to knas can only be adjudicated in Eretz Yisrael. So, of course, they've got to go to Tveria. So why did he ever say go to Bavel? He was mechabed ma'ukva, as if to say that, listen, you are a worthy dayan in this case. But practically, there is no way that he could, in fact, adjudicate in this case because it was knosis, and knosis has to be judged in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he had to be brought to Tveria. Okay, deep breath, everybody. Now we slow down and we begin the fourth perek. Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach Chofches Siv Iyar. By the way, today is our dear friend Ramosha Zelik's 75th birthday. I think it's quite frankly a nice golly that he arrived at this birthday, and Mitzvah Hashem, he should celebrate many more. As I mentioned yesterday, another nice is that yesterday morning he began talking again. Which is also a nace. It's not clear why that's happening and whether it is or isn't a positive sign, but at least he's able to do so. I hope Ezra Sam to see him on Friday morning with Hashem. Okay, let's begin the Gemara. Let's begin a brand new Mishnah. This is the fourth perek of Sanhedrin, and it's called Echad Dinei Mominus. Let's begin straight away. Says the Gemara. Echad, not the Gemara, the Mishnah. Echad Dinei Momonus, ve'echod dine nefoshes, bedrisha ubechakira. Both dine momonus, financial issues, or dine nefoshes, matters of life or death, there always has to be drishos v'chakiras. Now you'll remember we mentioned this briefly in a previous daf, and we're going to discuss this even at greater length in the next perek. As in, what exactly were the drishas, the chakiris. But just very briefly, if you turn quickly to Daf Mem, go quickly to Daf Mem. Daf Mem is the next parak, which we will begin, hopefully, Shatevo Muslachas. And there it tells you, Hoyu Boitkin Oison B'sheva Chakiris. There were seven Chakiris. Remember, the Chakiris are the main central questions. Be'ezah Shavua, Be'ezah Shana, Be'ezah Chodesh, Be'kama B'chodesh, the time, the date, Be'ezah Yoim, Be'ezah Shah, Be'ezah Mokai, etc., etc., etc. So, Chakiris are the basic questions. What was the date? What was the location? What was the time? Which week? Etc., etc. Bedikos are always less, quote unquote, important details. And because of it, there are different halachas that pertain to chakiras and bedikas. And that's the discussion that we'll have to see, Mr. Hashem, when we get there in the next parak. How do we deal with Edim who say, I don't know, or if there's a contradiction? Do we treat chakiros more seriously than bedikos? Either way, back to our Mishnah now. Echod dine mamoinois ve'echod dine nefoshes, bedrisha or bechakir. So for the moment, we're not distinguishing. Both financial matters and matters of life and death must have both drisha and chakira. Why are we treating mamonos and nefoshes all as one, and we're not differentiating? Says the Mishnah Shenema, Mishpat Echod Yeh Lochem. There's got to be one Mishpat, uniform. So there's got to be some common denominator between Dine Momonos and Dine Nefoshes, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that both Dine Momonos and also Dine Nefoshes, they both need Drisha V'Chakira, and we learn it from this Pasuk of Mishpat Echod Yeh Lochem. Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Echod dine momonos v'drisha v'chakira, top line, chakirois v'drishos, these investigations and searching shechoikrim es ha'edim, that we must cross-examine the edim. Shenema mishpat echod yelochem, got to be one mishpat. Ubedine nefoshos ksiv v'dorashto v'chokarto. With regard to Dine Nefoshos, we have a critical pasuk that says v'dorashto v'chokarto. There's a two words, drisha and chakira. We'll have to translate and explain them all, but there clearly are two concepts called drisha and chakira. And you learn that from the pasuk v'dorashto v'chokarto, stage one. Stage two is we have another pasuk that says mishpat echod. You've got to have one type of mishpat, the same type of mishpat that you have for Dine Nefoshes, you have for Dine Momonos. If it says with regard to Nefoshes, there's got to be a Drisha and a Chakira, and so too also with regard to Dine Momonos. Does that mean that there is absolutely no difference at all between Momonos and Nefoshes? Well, we know there is a difference. Isn't that the very opening Mishnah that we started the whole Masechta with? Dine Momonos only needs three Dayanim. Dine Nefoshes needs 23 Dayanim. Look at the Mishnah. Ma bein Dine Momonos the Dine Nefoshes. So what indeed is there difference between Dine Momonos and Dine Nefoshes? Dine Momonos b'shloisho. The Dine Nefoshes b'esrim v'shloisho. Whether it's 3 or 23. Look at Rashi, Dine Momonos b'shloisha, Hoyal Finon, didn't we learn this out? The Perek Kaman, the very first Perek in Daf Beis. Now, the Mishnah we have just learned would seem to be contradictory. Isn't it self-contradictory? We just says that Dine Momonos and Dine Nefoshes both require Drisha v'Chakira. Why? Because we have that all-important pasuk, Mishpat Echod Yelochem, it's got to be one Mishpat. So how can you say in the very next line, the difference between Momonos and Nefoshes is, what do you mean difference? I thought you just learned from a pasuk that there can't be a difference. So if the pasuk of Mishpat Echod is being used to teach us that there's no difference between Momonos and Nefoshes, at least with regard to Drisha the Chakira, So why all of a sudden is there a difference with regard to the amount of Dayanim? So have a look at the top Tosas. Top Tosas deals with this. Zog Tosas Echod Dine Momenus. Ma bein dine momenus le dine nefoshes, etc., etc. Says Tosis. Afal gav, even though the shovim bechakira vedrisha, even though they are equal, shovim, they are equal, we treat them the same with regard to drisha vechakira midiksi, because it says mishpat echod yelochem, quote unquote. And if that's the same, if that's the rule with regard to drisha v'chakira, so how can you in the same sentence say that there's a very big difference between momonos and nefoshes, and one is 3 dayanim, one is 27. I thought we have a pasuk saying mishpat echod, it's got to be one. Says Tosfos, no. Le'inyan mili, with regard to matters, detoli, which are dependent on bizchus v'choiva, innocent and guilty, ein lahashvoisom. With regard to that, we'll explain in a second, you cannot compare them. Zeloi shayich b'dinei mamonos. Because that's not relevant in the case of dinei mamonos. What does that mean? What is the fundamental difference? Very important now we lay this rule down. What is the fundamental difference between dinei mamonos and dinei nefoshes? It's not just the severity. The difference is that dinei mamonos is between two parties. So if one is right, then the other one is wrong. If one is wrong, the other one is right. It can't both be right. Either he did lend the money or he didn't. Either he did commit the damage or he didn't. In the case of dinei nefoshes, he's either right, guilty, or he's innocent. Either he was mechalal Shabbos or he was not. But in the case of momonos, there's no shaila of is he guilty or is he innocent. One is clearly guilty and one is clearly innocent. And if that's the case, the whole concept of zechus and choiva, what does that mean, zechus and choiva? We know that we do absolutely everything we can to try and find the zechus. We don't want to go around punishing people. We certainly don't want to go around killing people. So we will do everything we can in order to find a limud zechus and to acquit him and say, right, that's it. He's not, after all, going to be chayav misa. But do we all accept that whole concept obviously cannot apply in dinei mamonos? What does that mean? You're going to absolutely do everything to acquit, to make him innocent. Well, if you make him innocent, then the other one's guilty. So the whole reason why we require 23 dayanim in the case of dinei nefoshes, says Tosfos, is not just because dinei nefoshes is more severe. No, because we want more dayanim on board so that possibly we'll be able to find a zechus. So therefore, if we have every incentive to find a zechus for this person on trial, we're not going to suffice with 3 dayanim. We're going to have 23 dayanim. Whereas in the case of momonos, as we just explained, the whole concept of zechus and choiva doesn't apply. There's no point saying, yeah, we absolutely exist. Okay, for example, we know that two people, one of them committed damage. We just don't know who it was. It was either Reuven or Shimon. So if you make maximum effort to acquit somebody, that's all fine and well. So if you acquit Reuven, it's at Shimon's expense. If you acquit Shimon, it's at Reuven's expense. So there, the whole concept of zechus and choiva is not relevant, is loy shayich. And that's why it says Tosfos, mishpat echod yielochem. The pasuk that taught us that we have to do drishas and chakiras, that's true. Essentially, the general rule is that momonos and nefoshes are treated the same. The court case, the approach, how we investigate the edim, it's all the same. The fact that with regard to the number of dayanim, there's a difference, that's because the whole reason why I need more dayanim is to try and find the zechus. That is a concept that only makes sense in Dinei Nefoshes and not in Dinei Mamonos. So that's why there could be a difference, and the Pasuk of Mishpat Echad would not refer to that. Have a look again at Tosfos. Afal Gav Deshovim, even though we treat them absolutely equally, B'chakir V'drisha, why? Midiksiv Mishpat Echad Yelochem. So how can you all of a sudden tell me that with regard to the number of Dayanim there is a difference? Le'inyan Mili, with regard to matters of Detolu B'zechus V'choiva, of finding him innocent or guilty, that ain't lahashvam. That clearly ain't lahashvam. So we cannot compare them. Deloy shayich b'dinei mominus. That's not shayich in the case of mominus to do everything we can to find him innocent, because then you're making the other guy guilty. That is only uniquely specific to dinei nefoshes, and that's why we need 23 dayon. Yes.
It sounds like the differential should not be whether he's chayev miso or not. It's whether he's chayev or not. Meaning, the differential is, hold on, but the differential is between civil law and criminal law. In civil cases, three dayanim, okay, because either he's right or he's right. But what about a case of Geneva? What about a case where someone robbed a bank? And now you're being accused, I saw him rob the bank. Yeah, there were damages, but in a murder, there's also damages. Or, right? So the issue really is, because the guy who killed the guy, if he's chayiv misa because I killed somebody, right? It's still chayiv misa. It's still a nefashis case. But the point is that it's really a matter, if they're saying this, then you should need 23 dayanim also in a Geneva case. You should need 23 in any criminal case where a guy is chayiv.
You find the gun of innocent, then the other guy is losing money. So what have we gained?
And if you find the guy innocent of murder, the other guy was killed and we didn't find the murderer.
He didn't kill. That's happened. That's a fact. He's dead. Finn, I can't bring him back. He's dead. That can't change. Now the question is another guy going to have to die? So I'd like to not have to kill him.
But I hear you. I understand that. But there are crimes.
Lose, and the other one's going to win. So we don't gain anything by turning over the world to make one innocent, because that means the other guy loses out. So therefore, we don't have that incentive to find a zechus. But in the case of when a guy was killed, he's dead, finished. Now we don't know whether this fellow Reuven is the murderer. We hope to acquit him. We don't. Two people.
I think what they're saying should apply to every case where the issue is either chayav or zocha, not who's right and wrong. Separate them.
That is,
but it's not every case. It's just nefashos. It's not every case.
That's monos and nefashos. Nefashos is never a case of two people. Nefashos always is he chayav misa or not. Mominus is who's right and who's wrong by definition.
You mean in there's no cases in Yiddishkeit where a guy is chayev, but he's not chayev Misa, he's chayev Malkus, he's chayev this, he's chayev other things.
Same thing. We're not discussing Mominus and Malkus. The Mishnah is only discussing Mominus and Nefoshes.
Right, so I'm saying that if based on what the...
We're not discussing it with the case of Malkus and the guy at Novela, etc., 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 that's nothing to do with our Mishnah. We'll see. The Mishnah, we'll discuss this. But that's at the moment, we're just comparing Mominus and Nefoshes. Okay, we're going to hold it over here, Rabbi Yisai, Be'ez Hashem Yisborach. Next week, Sunday and Monday, I guess we're going to have Shir Mitzvah Hashem. Tuesday is Erev Yom Tov, Wednesday is Yom Tov, so we'll see, we might have a little bit of a shortened week, but all being well, beginning of next week, we'll resume. For those who join us for the Parashah Shir, we're going to have a special pre-Shvuah Shir tonight, all about Bitochin and Kabbalah Satira, Mitzvah Hashem, so join us at 7:05 if you can.